Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
You know, do you really have more faith now than you did when you were a child? Do you have more faith now than when you were a teenager? I would like to answer that question for myself and say unquestionably I do. I have a lot more faith now than I did when I was a young preacher. You say, why is that? Because you're a good person? No, it's because I've proven the Lord. And the Lord has come through so many times in my life. I've learned to depend on Him. The Lord has proven Himself when it looked like it was impossible and God would turn around. I don't even remember what it was this week, but I told Pastor Becky, I said, I had three terrible things happen this week, or today, I told her one day. And I said, three phone calls that were terrible. I remember one of them was, I told you about my truck, $30,000 to repair my truck. And so I got that call again, reinforced. And there was two other things. And within 15 minutes, I had three calls to reverse those three calls. And suddenly it wasn't a terrible day, it was a great day. Because they said, we've decided that we're going to repair that truck all under warranty. It's not going to cost you anything. God just has a way of doing that for me. Sister Michelle, that used to be my secretary, she used to say to me repeatedly, things just turn out for you. I've never seen where things just turn out good for somebody. Friend, if you just hold, there's always that time between you get the bad news and the turnaround, but it's during that period where you've got to hold your peace. That doesn't mean that you are quiet. It means that you do not join forces with the adversary and echo what he's saying. You begin to praise the Lord. When you praise the Lord when you get a bad report, what you're saying is, I don't believe that report. I'm in that land waiting for God to turn around. And while I am here, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. And so we talked last week about how faith responds. It gives me understanding to creation. Faith tells me to fear no man, but to see him who is greater. Faith tells me that I can miraculously conceive and deliver a miracle. And here's where I want to start today. Faith tells me that whatever I surrender to God will be returned, multiplied. You know, that is a principle. I've never heard anybody else really elaborate, but many years ago, when I was a young preacher, God just showed me the verse in Hebrews where it said, in John it said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But then in the book of Hebrews, it said he leads many sons to glory. Even God, when he gave his only son, reaped many sons. That's a principle. What you surrender to God, God will multiply. And so when I feel like I'm diminished, the Holy Spirit uses faith to speak. I told you that faith is like a person to me. He's always leaning over my shoulder. You ever have anybody lean over your shoulder and give you advice? Like your wife or your husband? Just lean over. Say, this is what you ought to do. Faith does that to me. It leans over my shoulder. But unfortunately, I'm still living in a physical body, and I'm still mortal. The Bible said this mortal is eventually going to become immortal. But right now, I'm still mortal. And so if I'm not careful, I let my flesh overcome the voice of faith in my life. But if I will let faith become the predominant voice, I will always be victorious. When I am defeated, it's because my flesh voice has become stronger than my faith voice. I've got to hear what God is saying, and he says it through faith. And it's not what's happening, it's what God is going to do. You look at what's happening, your faith just dwindles. But if you look at the promises of God, they're yea and amen. And so when I surrender something to God, there's always going to be a period of time there when I'm waiting. When I'm waiting, but I've got faith that says God will turn this around. I heard a pastor tell an amazing story a few days ago, and he's a good friend of mine. I've preached for him over in Southeast Texas a long time ago, but he's an amazing preacher. He has the best stories, And I just heard him tell this the other day, and it just ministered to me. He said, pastor in his church, he pastored the same church for 30 or 40 years. And so he said, one of his most faithful women in his church just lived a tough life. Said she had no help. Said she lived with a man that was just anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-God. And he just would give her fits about the church. And she never wavered, never, ever wavered. She just kept giving to the Lord. She kept tithing. She kept worshiping. She kept coming to church. She kept teaching Sunday school. But after about 20-some years, she just was beat down and wore down. And her husband, every time she went out the door, he was attacking her. She came into the pastor's office and said, well, pastor, said, my husband won. I'm just wrung out. I just can't stand it no more. She said, you won't see me anymore. She said, I'm just going to give in. I'm just going to quit. But she said, I need to tell my Sunday school kids goodbye. So she said, I'm going to teach one more Sunday, and then I'm gone. I won't never be back. And he said, I pled with her and tried to persuade her, and she said, no, I've made up my mind. Said, just these years of just investing myself in God and fighting with my husband every Sunday. She said, one more time, I'll be here, and that's it. And so he said, I dreaded seeing her Sunday. And said, lo and behold, when she walked in, her husband was with her. Said she was getting ready for one last time. Said her husband came out in a suit. She said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to church with you today. And said that day he got saved and filled with God's Spirit. Just one more time. I don't know how many times in my life I've come to that one more time. And God's always said, if you invest one more time, I'm going to give you a tremendous harvest in your life. That's what faith responds to, just one more time. You don't have to plan for the year. You don't have to plan. In fact, Jesus said, don't take any thought of the future. Just do what's right now. And God's always helped me to do that. And I have to tell you a little secret in my life. I always do my best in adversity. There's always something I can just feel it jump up in me. When I get a bad phone call and I get bad news and things, I can just feel something coming up in me. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just don't know how you follow Christ if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because there's been so many times in my life when my flesh was weak that the Holy Spirit would just prompt faith to lean over my shoulder and say, it's going to turn around. Tomorrow about this time, as the prophet said, it's going to turn around. Praise God. And faith tells me that whatever I invest and surrender to God, it will be multiplied and come back to me. And number five, faith tells me to never sacrifice my future for the present. I know so many people that sacrifice their future for the present. The terrible story of Esau in the Bible, he tried to fix it later, but he couldn't. He sacrificed his birthright for a bowl of soup. I just love soup. I even love Campbell's soup. I could eat Campbell's noodle soup cold out of the can. You don't even have to put it in a microwave. I just love any kind of soup. I'm not like my friend. He said, my wife fixes hash. And he said, I never eat hash at home. And he said, then I go to a restaurant and they said, hey, on the menu, hash. He said, I didn't get it. He said, I didn't eat it in the restaurant because I didn't know what was in it. He said, I didn't eat it at home because I did know what was in it. But I just love soup. I love to go to Papa Do's and get their seafood gumbo. But folks, they're pricing me out. You know, I got enough money. I went to Papa Do's and got a bowl of seafood gumbo, a glass of iced tea, asked him to bring me bread with butter, tipped my server, looked at my bill, It was $27 for a bowl of gumbo. I said, I'm not sure I can do this anymore. I'm just going to have to go to the store and buy me a can of Campbell's soup and stay home. They're pricing me out at Papa Do's. This inflation thing is getting out of control. But Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He sacrificed his entire future for the present. And I see so many people doing that. I remember 30 years ago, a friend of mine, he was a good preacher, but he just had bad spending habits. He stayed constantly broke. And one day I was buying some cows, and he was buying some suits. And I said, you know, the difference between you and me is 30 years from now, you're going to be broke, and I'm going to be blessed. Because when I buy that cow, it's going to have a calf, and I'm going to sell that calf for what I paid for the cow and still have the calf for it. That's the way it works. I said, you're going to buy that suit. In 60 days, you're going to be tired of that suit and buy another. You're always going to be broke. Folks, it's 30 years later. I'm blessed. He's broke. I still know him. He's broke. He don't have know where the next nickel's coming from, I promise you, because he sacrificed his future for the present. When you spend your last dime at the mall to stay fashionable, you're sacrificing your future for your present. When you say, I'm tired, and roll over on a Sunday morning, you're sacrificing your future for the present. Ladies and gentlemen, I've learned to discipline myself to realize I'm always saying God is going to take care of me, but I cannot give up my future for what I want to do in this flesh. I have a lot of compassion, and the older I get, the more compassion I have. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine. He's retired. He pastored the same church for 50 years. I named three pastors that I knew. They were friends of ours many years ago. One of them gave up his family for an airline stewardess. He met her on a plane, left his family, left his church, left his wife, and married her. Another one left his wife for his sister-in-law. I named all three of these. And they've all attempted to get it back in the ministry many years later, but it just never worked out. And all three of them are disjoined from their family, their churches, their ministry, and now they're 70-some years of age. And I said to my friend, I said, I wonder what their nights are like when they lay down at night and they think about their families, their friends, what could have been, the ministries they could have had. I said, my heart goes out to them. My friend said, I don't. They got what they deserved. Friend, I don't feel that way about anybody. You get what you deserved. Friend, I haven't really ever got what I've deserved. I get what Jesus deserves. God blesses me not because, Tammy, that I'm perfect. God blesses me because Christ is my substitute. And when the Father looks at me, he looks through Christ and gives me what Christ should have rather than what Steve should have. And so I make sure that I don't sacrifice my future for my present because I refuse to let go of Jesus Christ because he is my future. And faith says no matter what's happening, remember to put your trust in Christ. It's always leaning over my shoulder and saying, let me respond to this. Let me tell you what Jesus would do. Let me tell you how Jesus wants to work in your behalf right now. And ladies and gentlemen, if you will get faith in your life, you will understand what it means that you will do things that you're not capable of doing because faith is overriding your fleshly temptations and responses, and faith is offering the proper response to that circumstance and that situation. The Bible teaches us that those that view the wind, those that look at the situation, they will not sow. In other words, if you look at the storm, you won't sow. And if you won't sow, you'll not have a harvest. God has helped me through faith to not look at the storm. Unlike the disciples on the boat, I don't see the waves or the wind. I see the Christ that's walking on the waves. And I say, regardless of what's happening, I am going to sow my seed. I consider every time I come to God's house, I consider that sowing, Sister Chris. Every time I give or tithe, I consider that sowing. Every act of kindness. You know, it's hard. I put a great text on Facebook the other day about being kind. And then I went to the car dealer, and I won't tell you the story, but it wasn't good. And so I left a piece of my mind at the car dealer. Then I got home and found out the piece that I left was the one I needed. So the next day I drove to that same car dealer. He's the manager. I've been buying cars there since 1977, Gloria. And I went and I called him out. And I said, I want to apologize for not being kind. I'm not a big George Bush fan, senior or junior. But I'm usually not a fan of any presidents. They just won't run this country like I want them to. But he said, we do need to have a kinder and gentler nation. I called that manager and I said, I want to apologize to you for not being kind yesterday. He said, you mean you drove all the way over here for that? I said, yeah. He said, people chew me out every day. I manage a car dealership. People are never happy. But nobody's ever driven across town to apologize. I said, well, I shouldn't have had to, but I want to fix it. I want to fix it. So when I'm kind, I consider that sowing. When things are not good and people are not nice and you feel like you're being cheated, when you say something to the car dealer like there's no difference between you and the guy on the street with a gun, the way you're robbing me, when you say that, that's not kind. That's not kind. You got to go fix that. And so when I drove across town, it was the wind had blown and I hadn't sown kindness, so I had to go fix that. But I found out that if I listen to faith every time, faith will turn it around. Faith will say, I will go ahead and sow your seed. And I've learned to sow my seed, and when I don't, I fix it. Because when I sow seed, I can promise you that it has a tremendous reward, a tremendous harvest. One of the finest men that I ever pastored when I was just starting this church was a great guy, Mr. Personality. He looked like Tony Dorsett. I mean, just like him. He was a great soul winner. And he wasn't real good at managing money. And he left. He had a little boy and a beautiful wife. And this is 1975 or so. And so he left his house to go to work. And he had $5 in his pocket. And he said, his wife said, be sure and pick up some milk for the baby when you come home. And he said, I was walking down the street, and he said, so help me, God said, give your last $5 to that street person right there. He said, I can't. My baby needs the milk. My wife would, oh, she would have a fit if I give away my last $5. And so he said, I gave the $5 because faith told me to. He said, my wife called me later in the day, and she said, don't forget the milk. And he said, honey, I don't have any money for milk. I gave our last $5 away. And said, sure enough, she was just broke down and cried. He said, within 2 hours, she called me and said, honey, don't worry about the milk. I'm going to get it myself. He said, where'd you get the money? She said, out of the mailbox. She said, there was a check in the mailbox, unsolicited, unexpected, for over $2,000. Sometimes your blessing can hinge on $5 or a kind word to a car dealer. It's just sowing. And faith is always saying, sow. Your flesh is always saying, look at the wind, look at the storm, look at the problem. But friend, when you've got faith, I promise you, you will sow the right thing at the right time in the right place and get the right reward. It's an amazing life when you work in faith. There's nothing like walking in faith and seeing God turn things around and giving God praise, especially if you can get a husband or wife that joins with you and y'all can begin to celebrate the Lord. Celebrate the Lord. Because God says, if you will have faith, it pleases me. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. Do you believe that God knows your name? It's got to start there. God knows your name. You know His name. His name is Jesus. But He knows your name. Your name is Juan. He knows your name. He's known you since you were before you were in your mother's womb. God's going to take care of you. If He knows the sparrow that falls, He knows you. God is going to take care of you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, back many years ago, this wonderful little couple came in and they knew nothing about the Lord. They were just cute little couples. She was beautiful and he was handsome. And they just dressed, just great people. And they came in and I never will forget. They said, we're going to emulate you because we want to be blessed. I was preaching about like I'm preaching right now. Mike, I was preaching about faith and God can do anything. And I've told the story so many times because it impressed me. When things impress me, I repeat those stories. And so they lived over off of Walsham Road and they were laying in bed on Wednesday night after church. And she said, they were pretty broke. And she said, oh, by the way, she said, my sister's coming to stay a couple weeks with us. He wasn't particularly fond of her sister, so that wasn't good news. And she said, one more thing. We got to go to the airport right now. And we got to pay her ticket. Oh, man, she's coming and I got to pay her way. They drove to the airport. He pulled up to the curb. She got out to go buy the ticket with some of the last money they had. And she said, when I stepped out, there was a paper bag laying there. And she said, I just picked up the paper bag and didn't open it. She said, all I said was count it. That's all I said was count it. And when I came back, that's exactly what my husband was doing. His name happened to be Michael, too. Said he was counting $30,000 in a paper bag at the airport. They testified about it verbally, told where they found it and how much it was. And I held my breath for 2 weeks thinking somebody was going to claim it. But thank God, God protected him from that, too. $30,000 cash in a bag. You say, that's crazy. Friend, I'm going to tell you, faith can move a mountain. I'm telling you, faith can do anything. You need to let faith's proper response dominate your life. Because I don't care what the devil says, your mother-in-law says, your boss says, or even what your flesh says, God is greater. God is able to do anything. And He's in this room right now, and there are some people facing some obstacles in your life, and you say, I don't know what to do. Well, you're not supposed to know what to do. Faith knows exactly what to do. Let it respond. Faith will tell you what to do, and when you do that, it's going to turn it around in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Way up in northern Illinois when I was a young preacher, an alcoholic fell in the aisle. And later on, T.W. Barnes, one of the greatest faith preachers I ever knew, he's in heaven now, said, oh, don't ever do that again, Steve. But when that alcoholic laid there and the devil began to speak out of him, I turned the Bible to Mark 16, turned it on his chest, laid my hand on him and looked at heaven and said, God, I'll never preach another sermon if you don't deliver this man and save him right now. And when I said that the power of God came upon that alcoholic, he stood and began to praise God. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, joined him to his wife, and he became a real saint of the living God. That was what faith responded to. And even the faith preacher said, don't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, faith will shock you. Faith will shock you by its response, and faith will shock you by its results. God is able. And there's somebody in this building today, in the name of Jesus Christ, that is facing an adverse circumstance, and this is the week that God is going to turn it around. All you need to do is let faith respond. He's going to change the doctor's report, the banker's report, your boss's report, your wife's report, your husband's report. God is going to turn it around. And so I ask you today, whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. My faith says yea and amen. God is and God is able. If you're in this building, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you the authority and the power to walk out of your chair and say, my God is going to turn this miserable thing around and my life is going to be changed this week. If that's you, I challenge you to stand up and walk down this aisle.